Stay tuned after the show for a message from Nokia.
The coronavirus pandemic is really exacerbating issues that the country's addiction mental health system has seen for years. It's chronically underfunded, it's fragmented.
More than 43 million Americans suffer from depression, anxiety, or other mental health issues, but more than half never get help.
As more Americans seek treatment, the healthcare system and lawmakers can't keep up.
It continually needs more money. It can be inaccessible for people, and now it really needs more money. Behavioral health providers will say they really need more funds as more Americans seek treatment.
I'm Jeremy Siegel. This is Politico Dispatch, and today, health reporter Rachel Rubin on how mental health providers are in danger of running out of money at a time when they're needed the most.
So before the pandemic, millions of Americans had a mental health or substance use disorder, and this can be exacerbated in really hard, uncertain times. 4 in 10 adults say worries and stresses from the coronavirus have negatively impacted their mental health. Now that's according to a poll from the Kaiser Family Foundation last month. Broadly, there were many measures taken to try and get a hold of the pandemic that can contribute to poor mental health. For instance, social isolation and loneliness from social distancing and business closures, financial pressures due to losing a job and income. The Kaiser Family Foundation also says that there's research that shows that job loss can be linked to increased depression and anxieties that could lead to higher rates in substance use disorder as well.
And so all of this has led to an increase in demand, as you might expect, on mental health services, right?
Yeah. So for months, people have not gone in the doors of facilities. So behavioral health providers have been really trying to ramp up their telehealth services, which obviously costs money. In March alone, there was an increase of nearly 900% of calls to the federal mental health crisis hotline, for instance.
900%?
Yeah, and that was in March compared to the same time last year, yes.
Wow. You're reporting that at the same time that there's this massive demand, a 900% increase in some cases, there's also a huge lack of funding for these mental health care providers. Can you explain that to me?
Sure. So my colleague Brianna Ely and I have been digging into this. Behavioral health providers are really worried. They say they need more money. For years, the system has been chronically underfunded and fragmented. Behavioral health providers have asked for $50 billion from Congress in kind of emergency funds for mental health services and to kind of prevent the country from backsliding on progress in tackling the opioid crisis. Now, that funding has not materialized from Congress. There is a $175 billion bailout fund for providers that all providers can access. So here's the deal on how that works. In April, providers that see Medicare patients were able to get some funds based on how many Medicare patients they see. Now, that's just generally a sliver of behavioral health providers' revenue. A few weeks later, these same providers got the chance at more money based on the revenue they see from all providers, which HHS says was trying to be an adjustment for just giving money based off how many seniors on Medicare that provider saw.
So let me get this straight. At first, providers are only getting this funding based off of patients they see using Medicare, older patients, which is only a fraction of the people they see because most of their patients are on Medicaid, the program for low-income people. So they're probably not getting the funding they need. And then a few weeks later, the health department expands that funding, but only for providers already getting help based off of Medicare, based off of older patients. This all sounds kind of confusing. Do I have that right?
Yeah. No, that did confuse some behavioral health providers, clinics that we talked to. They didn't realize that for those funds, they needed to apply to be eligible. There was an additional announcement of $15 billion for providers that see mainly Medicaid patients. But if a provider had gotten any money before, they were not eligible for those funds, which did come as a surprise to some in the behavioral health community. Now, if you talk to HHS, a spokesperson there told us that behavioral health providers have not been left out of the provider relief fund distributions. Behavioral health providers are really just saying, now is the time. We need more money. We want money that's really tailored towards us right now. They're warning, and this was a quote from over 24 organizations. They said, absent immediate support from the federal government, it is likely the nation's behavioral health safety net will fail.
Have we seen this lead to any big financial problems or cuts or layoffs from mental health services?
Just this month, there was a study conducted by Morning Consult in partnership with the National Council for Behavioral Health that said that almost half of mental health and addiction providers say they can only survive for 6 months or less in the current fiscal climate. We've talked to some providers who say that they've been losing money quickly. We've talked to some that have reported some layoffs or furloughs. Some state associations have said some of their members have had to do that. In California, nearly 60% of behavioral health providers say they have lost staff, some of whom feared going into work because of the coronavirus.
So this is a crisis of mental health happening during a global health crisis with the added effect of an economic crisis that's hitting health providers. What's the fix here? What's next?
That's a great question. I think it's really hard to say for sure at the moment. We're kind of not quite sure when there will be a next relief bill that is able to pass both the House and the Senate. If you talk to behavioral health providers, I mean, they will say they really do need to make sure that they have enough funding to continue to keep their doors open, to keep an adequate amount of staff around, to ensure that they're boosting their telehealth capabilities, and also to really make sure that they have the critical personal protective gear needed to begin to have people come back into the office, begin to have group meetings, those kinds of things.
When it comes down to it, this is something that is affecting people at the individual level, people who need care. What do experts advise people should do if they or a loved one is dealing with mental health issues aggravated by the pandemic?
Experts will say to seek help and to not stay silent and to not try and deal with this on your own. Experts will say it's really important to try and seek the care and services that you think could help, and to also, you know, share with loved ones what you're feeling.
Rachel Rubine, thanks so much for talking with me.
Thanks so much. My pleasure.
Also today, some top health officials are set to testify in front of lawmakers on Capitol Hill this morning. Dr. Anthony Fauci, the nation's leading infectious disease expert, along with the heads of the CDC, the FDA, and a top official at the Health Department, will appear before the House Energy and Commerce Committee, which has oversight over drugs and vaccines and other parts of the country's healthcare system. The testimony comes at a fraught time for the nation's coronavirus response, with lockdown restrictions eased across the country and the number of cases surging in some states. The last time Dr. Fauci testified at the Capitol, he told lawmakers that if regions buck public health recommendations and reopen too quickly, they would face dire problems. Since then, a growing number of states have eased restrictions aimed at curbing the spread of coronavirus, and an uneven patchwork of reopening plans has emerged across the country. Notably, three states that have reopened quickly, Florida, Arizona, and Texas, have seen a rise in cases that has sparked concern from public health experts. And Democrats in the Senate are threatening to block the GOP police reform bill and are strongly signaling that they'll filibuster the measure if they don't get concessions from Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. McConnell's pushed for the Senate to consider the measure tomorrow, and he needs to get support from at least seven Democrats to even open debate on the bill, which was written without any input from Democrats. So far, not many of them have shown any interest. The measure, which comes in response to nationwide unrest over police brutality, creates incentives for police departments to curb the use of force, but stops short of a ban on chokeholds and no-knock warrants, which Democrats say is inadequate. Meantime, in the House, Democrats are set to pass their own legislation, which does ban no-knock raids and chokeholds later this week, with little to no GOP support. Subscribe to Politico Dispatch wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like the show, leave us a rating and review. That helps other people find us. I'm Jeremy Siegel. Thanks for listening.
Now more than ever, strong and secure connections are critical to the nation's success. That's why Nokia powers the connections that keep our country strong. And we're doing it all here from America. With 10,500 direct jobs and nearly half of our global procurement spent in the U.S., Nokia empowers our country to help American business stay in business. Learn more at nokia.com/opentomore.